there's going to be a 1,000-year millennial reign of Jesus Christ on the earth, right? And once that is over, the battle of Gog and Magog, as we've already talked about, I'm just refreshing your mind, and then God burns it up. When this Lucifer comes to attack that city, Jerusalem, again, that city's getting attacked. And then it's going to get attacked again at the end of the millennium. It's a city without walls at that point because it's the peaceful reign of Jesus Christ where he rules with a rod of iron. And there's a whole bunch of sinful mankind that hate the fact that Jesus Christ is ruling with a rod of iron. And at the end of that 1,000 years, that's a 7,000-year span. Seven's the number of completion, the number of perfection. A day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. So 6,000 years of human history, we know that. Then the seventh day, that perfect year, Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign on a throne in Jerusalem on this planet that you're on right now, which is the time of the restitution of all things. That's where we talked about they beat their plows into their swords into pruning hooks and their spears. You know the verse, right? Getting all twisted up, but you know the verse. So why? Well, because the earth is so fruitful that while their guy is reaping, they're coming right behind him sowing, and it's growing so fast, it's just giving forth its strength. It's given 100-fold because the Creator's reigning as the King, and he's dominating it. You got to understand, the earth is dominated by Jesus Christ. He rules with a rod of iron. And at the end of that 7,000 years is what we've come up to here in the book of Revelation. But that's the seventh day, the perfect day. So we do know at the end of 6,000 years, he's coming back. And we do know that he's going to begin that reign for the 7,000, right? That millennium. We just don't know when 6,000 really is. Because the Jews won't acknowledge him, but their calendar says it's 5,784 or 86 or something 84. Like that right now. 84, thank you. And their Passover begins tomorrow. We know he's coming in the spring. He's likely coming around Passover. But is it really 2024? Because according to their calendar, you're all going to die of old age if God's going by a Jewish calendar. That's a bummer. But how do you know God's going by that calendar? How do you know they've even been tracking it right? Because don't you know how corrupt they are when it comes to the Word of God and following God and rebelling against God and rebelling against Jesus Christ and adding to the Bible their own stuff? How do you know they haven't changed? You don't know what year it is. Right. You know what God did? God put it in his own power. And it's not for you to know it. But you know what you do know? Paul said, I have no need to write to you the times of the seasons. I got no need to tell you about that. You know how the day of the Lord's going to work, and you know what you're going to see before he comes, a great falling away. And you're seeing it. You're seeing God's people won't accept the word of God. Even God's people won't accept the word of God. God's people won't take preaching from God's word. Ain't that a wild thing? So, man, I hope that all their calendars are wrong. I know this much. I was thinking about it when getting ready for this. I'm pretty sure Lucifer would want you to think you're going to die of old age. Because you'll put it off. I'm pretty sure he knows your human mind and he's going to want you to think the Lord tarries. The Lord tarries is coming. Just chill out, church. Just relax. Just don't worry about it. Eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow we die. Party it up right now. Go ahead and sow your wild oats. Get it out of your system. You can get serious about God later. I'm pretty sure he'd be happy if you didn't think it was actually 2024 and the Lord's actually coming soon. I mean, according to 2024, you're on borrowed time. You know why? That's why they're coming up with, well, we got to take away 33 years of Jesus' life. Because they're bummed out that we're past the 6,000, according to the new calendars, which went from Julian to Gregorian or whatever we're on now, right? But you try to go back and study that calendar, you talk about a stinking mess that they were Gentiles were using before the Pope changed it. Lucifer's involved in the dating. That's what I'm trying to show you. And God said what God said, the way God said it. Don't worry about it. Just be ready. Just live like I'm coming today, because maybe the devil wants you to think the Lord's tarrying, but he's coming super, super soon. I think the devil knows human psychology so good. He knows how to manipulate us. If we figured it out and knew he was coming tomorrow, he knows how to manipulate us one way or the other. And it's the devil that's putting that stuff into your heads and making you think you know when it is. You don't know what date it is. That's encouraging, ain't it? Isn't that great? I know that I'm 46. I know that much. But I don't really know that I was born in 77. according to the calendar we've been using, that the Pope gave us, that the Antichrist gave us, that the 13th gave us. I was supposedly born in 77. I have no idea what year it is. And I don't think anybody can figure it out. I'll tell you this much, souls are dying and going to hell. And what souls need is the Lord Jesus Christ. And what I want to show you tonight from this last part of the book of Revelation here, and I'm going to try to get through it tonight, is that sinful human nature is still intact in the millennium. And that's why we saw in this passage, Satan gets loosed from his prison in verse number 7. He goes out and deceives the nations, which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, and gathers them together, and comes up to attack the beloved city. So what's a wild thing, keep your finger here in Revelation, go back to Zechariah chapter 13, please. What's a wild thing is that there's no devil bothering anybody. I guarantee you he or his imps or his principalities and powers or his system, I'm 100% sure they bother you. I'm also 100% sure they bother me. I don't like teaching on this stuff just because I don't want to deal with it. I don't like preaching like I did this morning. Zechariah 13, verse 2. I don't like preaching like I did this morning. Because, man, when you start preaching like that, trying to wake God's people up to the reality of hell and wake the lost up to the reality of hell and the seriousness of the Bible, you better bet on some pushback. You can guarantee it. You're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You deal with it on a daily basis. In Zechariah 13, 2, the Bible shows us that in the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, they won't be dealing with any devils at all. It says, "And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land." There's not even an unclean spirit dealing with them in the millennium. Jesus Christ is reigning. They have no devil to blame it on, no devils to blame it on, no idols to blame it on, no false religion to blame it on, no lack of knowledge to blame it on. Though I've never heard this doctrine before. I mean, we were just talking here in the room about how confused Billy was talking to us about how confused he was. And we sat down to dinner and some were telling him he could lose his salvation. Some were telling him he couldn't. And he sat down with me like, "What about this verse?" And he just couldn't, like, there was nothing to do with the verses in Hebrews. And I said, "Well, who's that written to?" He said, "The Hebrews." I said, "Are you a Hebrew?" And he was like, "Oh, like such a simple answer. Duh, how could I, right?" Well, what was the thing? Well, nobody had taught him. You know, in the millennium, you're not going to be able to say that. You're not going to be able to say, "I didn't know." Not you. They won't be able to say, "I didn't know." And yet you still find masses of human beings, like I talked to you about this morning, don't ever underestimate the power of your flesh to make license when God wants to give you liberty. Your flesh will always make license. Don't ever underestimate the power of the flesh, because in the millennium, they're not dealing with the devil. Go back to Psalm chapter 2. With a perfect king ruling and reigning over them, an absolutely perfect king, the devil locked up, no unclean spirit in the land, no idol in the land, the knowledge of the Lord flowing throughout the entire earth. You don't need a prophet. You don't need a preacher. Nobody needs to come to you and let me teach you the knowledge of the Lord. If they show up saying, "Let me teach you the knowledge of the Lord," you're supposed, they're going to be under the judgment. We're going to get after them. Say, "Who do you think you are? We got a shepherd. Who do you think you are? We got a prophet. Who do you think you are? We got a preacher. Who do you think you are? We got a king. Shut your mouth, boy. When Jesus shows up, you ain't preaching. Sit down and shut up. Who do you think you are? The king's here. And we'll listen to him and his knowledge will be flowing." Now, that'd be pretty good, wouldn't it? I'm telling you right now, I said it before, I'll say it again. If Jesus walked into this room right now, yours truly takes a seat. Ain't no way I'm standing up here preaching with the Lord sitting there watching me. If Paul walked in the room, the Apostle Paul, no thank you. I died 1,000 deaths and I'll never forget it. That the Carolina Classic down there in school, right after we had left the big box college we were in and went to Brother Lentz's church there, and he had a Carolina Classic, and Brother Ruckman was there to preach as the main speaker, and it was a morning service. And I was sitting there, just nervous as a cat in a dog kennel. You know, it was a small building, and there's a bunch of country folk, and they all knew him, and he was just intimidating and scary. He wasn't a real big man, but he was about, I think he's about 5'8", but man, he looked like he was about 6'8". You know, it's just hard to explain, just really intimidating. Just respect. And he just carried himself that way. He had the presence of God. It's just something strange. You can't fake it. Nobody else can be it. And I was sitting over there right around where BJ is right now, and Brother Lentz walked by me and like smacked me on the shoulder right there, and he said, "You're ready, right?" And I did, my heart, my stomach jumped up into my throat. And he said, "Instant, in season, out of season, you're ready, right?" And I said, "Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I'm ready." The only thing I was afraid of more than preaching in front of Dr. Ruckman was telling Brother Lentz no. And he said, "All right, you're going right before the old man." And I got up there and made the biggest buffoon out of myself. And he sat there with his leg crossed and one arm over the pew like that, kicking his foot and kicking his lip the whole time. Man, that was bad. That was torture. He did it to me on purpose. He told me later, "I did it to you on purpose. It's good for you." I'll tell you this much. Not of my Savior sitting there. No, he's teaching. I'm not teaching nothing. I got nothing to say. That's the millennium. Could you imagine that? No devil messing with you. A perfect government. A perfect king. I want to sit at the feet of Jesus for about 1,000 years and say, "Teach me some Bible, will you? Just preach. Just talk. I just want, just keep talking. Just talk. Just let me know. I got 1,000 questions, but I really don't even think I know the questions to ask. So why don't you just talk? Because I'm just going to soak it up. Need to get ready for eternity. I'm not ready for eternity yet. I got to learn some stuff first." Can you imagine that? Ain't that going to be great? But look at Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? They got no reason for it. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, "Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us." They don't want the Lord's leadership in the millennium. They want to break away this constraining God. "Give me liberty." That's what they're saying. "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh." God the Father is still sitting up there in outer space. Jesus Christ is sitting on a throne in the millennium in Jerusalem. God the Father is still up there. He's going to have them in derision. "Yet I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion." You see that? That's the millennial reign of Christ in Psalm 2. And the nations are getting mad at him and mad at his authority. Go to Psalm 66. I got to hurry. Go to Psalm 66, verse 3. Psalm 66:3. "Watch what they say unto the Lord. See, you and I are making a joyful noise unto God. Unto God, all ye lands." Verse 1. "Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious." Now watch unto this. "Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee, and they shall sing to thy name." How does he have his enemies under control? The Lord has enemies in the millennium without a devil, without an unclean spirit, without an idol, with Jesus Christ giving them the perfect world. Their children can sit on a cockatrice den and not get bit. The lion lays down with the lamb. How could you be so insane? And those people, not you, you got to understand, not you. You're already in your glorified body. You're eternally secure. You'll never sin again. You'll be made like unto Christ. You'll have the mind of Christ. You're done. You're good. You're sealed forever. Thank God for that. Human beings that went through the tribulation into the millennium will still have a sin nature in their flesh without the devil. Is that mind-blowing or what? I can't wrap my head around that. All right, they refuse to honor his majesty. That's Isaiah 26:10. Isaiah 26:10, go there real quick. So I wonder how often we blame the devil for stuff that's just our human nature. I want you to see the power of the human nature. It's a bad thing. You got a day and age where they worship human nature. You know, we're all good people, and you know, people are inherently good. And baloney, man. That's baloney. People aren't inherently good. You guys understand that a little 4 or 5 year old doesn't understand the repercussions of their actions and they get mad enough at you to grab a gun and shoot you? That's human nature. Oh, my little baby would never. They're little devils. They're little sinful human beings. You don't understand the power of the sin nature. You better understand the power of the flesh. I want to scare you. Isaiah 26:10, let favor be showed to the wicked, yet will not he learn righteousness. You think there's a little favor going on when God's blessing the crops and they're coming up like that? A little favor going on when no rattlesnakes are biting your kids, no lions are chewing their face off? A little favor going on when God's sitting there ruling and reigning with perfect peace? And even though God shows them favor, they won't learn. They're wicked. In the land of uprightness, he will deal unjustly and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. Wicked people in the millennium. So when the devil comes up out of that bottomless pit, he finds a whole slew of people, thousands of people. Go to Ezekiel chapter 38, and he gets a whole group of people together, and they come against the holy city. That's why Israel has always been the issue, and it always will be the issue. All the way out to the end of the millennium, Israel's still the issue. Jerusalem, that's holy land. That's God's land. So you got to understand that no matter how they try to bend it or persuade people or set Israel up, all the rest of that stuff, all the stuff that's going on over there is so demonic and so supernatural, it's not even funny. And it's looking like you can see what's going on, like the Lord could come back soon. But it might be, well, it might be 250 years off. And we might be 250 years off. You know, we might be 25 or 30 years off the wrong direction. It might be later than you think it is. It might be earlier than you think it is. Either way, what's going on over there sure does put your hackles up. Sure does make you realize there's things going on, boy, that's a wild, wild thing. It's a mess over there. Those folks are shrewd. They've been digging tunnels for a long time and hiding behind innocent women and children to turn the world against Israel, and it's working. And people are so stupid and blind and unbiblical and ignorant morons, thick-headed, rebellious, godless, depraved fools that they fall for it and can't see it. There was more names, man. I just put a slew of them out there. How's that? Ezekiel 38, look at verse 22. I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood. Now watch this. And I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon the many people that are with him an overflowing rain and great hailstones, fire and brimstone. When Lucifer comes up, like I showed you already, and attacks the holy city like we saw in Revelation chapter 20, God's going to call down fire out of heaven and burn up Lucifer. That's the battle of Gog and Magog, as separated from the battle of Armageddon that we already saw when Jesus comes back and sets up his kingdom and redeems Israel from almost being obliterated. Now he's been set up as their king for 1,000 years. He's ruled and reigned. Nobody has one good excuse to be rebellious against him, and yet human nature is still mad at God without one good excuse for it. And so the devil comes up, gets released from the bottomless pit, goes out in the four corners of the earth, and that quick finds him, numbers as the sands of the sea, finds him thousands and tens of thousands and possibly millions of people to come attack the holy city and surround Jerusalem. And as they're coming down there to that battle, God just calls down fire from heaven and just says, bam, just like that, just burns the whole thing up. You fire and brimstone preachers, thank you. You just told me I'm a Bible preacher. Appreciate that. You just told me I'm right in tune and in line with Almighty God. And God hates that stuff. Go to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Look at verse 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, that's the ones you're on now, by the same word, you know what created them? The Lord said. What happened when God said? The Spirit moved. Holy men of God did what? As they were moved by the Holy Ghost. As they were moved by the Holy Ghost. No, you make too much out of the Bible. You don't make enough of it. You're a bibliolater. after the manner which ye call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all that's written in the law and the prophets. Got any more comments? Yeah, I've been called a heretic for the way I view the Bible and the King James Bible at that. Well, I view it that way because the Word spoke it into existence. And when Jesus Christ is the creator of the heaven and earth, he spoke. And the Spirit of God moved when he spoke. All right? And that Word keeps it in store. So you're not going to stink in, you know, by your evolutionary issues and all the rest of that stuff, by your environmental issues and all the rest of that stuff, you're not going to do no damage that God don't want done. Tell him I'm busy. I'll call him back when I'm done. You're not going to do damage God doesn't want done. This thing's going to be here as long as God wants it here. The ozone layer is depleting. Good. So what? We need to reduce our carbon footprint. Have you ever seen how much of this country we have not yet touched? You can get down there with us and let Reed take you out on his boat. Big old, they say they live on the river. You call that a river, I don't know what, you know, what we got around here is streams, you know what I mean? Our river's huge, and it goes from lake to lake to lake to lake to lake, and the lakes are massive, monstrous lakes. And get on that boat and do 60 miles an hour and just go after that thing for like 30 minutes, we're just way up back in there in the middle of nowhere. Ain't seen a house, ain't seen a person. He said, oh, if you see somebody out here, just get away from them, they're up to no good. Nobody's supposed to be out here. Only the hunters that lease the property. Ain't seen a person, ain't seen a house, ain't seen nothing. You're way back up in there. They show me pictures of like walking through the woods and there's a cave. And I'm not talking about a cave you can walk into. I'm talking about if you're walking through there at night, you walk right in and fall, and you ain't coming out, you're dead. You're dead. You scream all you want, nobody will hear you. They shine lights down in there and never seen the bottom of it. One of his brothers was out there in the woods and early in the morning going hunting, parked the boat, got out, was hiking through there and just felt something wasn't right. So stopped and just waited till the sun got up and said, I almost walked right into that cave. Stuff out there you ain't never seen. You ain't touched. We ain't. These environmentalists lost their minds. We ain't burning it all up. This thing's going to be here till God's done with it. The Word of God keeps it in store. And when God's done with it, there's nothing you're going to do to stop him. He said, the same Word I kept in store reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. God destroyed it twice by water. The first time in Genesis chapter 1 between verse 1 and verse 2. And the second time in Noah's flood. And he said to Noah, I'll never again destroy the earth by water. And so I'm going to give you a sign in the sky. It's a rainbow. And so these bunch of ungodly men and these wicked perverts take the rainbow and they turn it into their badge of honor, rubbing it in God's face, saying, what you drowned the world out for before, you rained fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah before. Ain't that weird? On Sodom and Gomorrah before, Genesis 13:13, men are wicked and sinners. First time the word sinner shows up in your Bible, if memory serves me correctly, Genesis 13:13, by the way. And God rains down fire and brimstone from heaven on a bunch of Sodomites. And so now they're taking that rainbow and pushing it in God's face, saying, you said you'll never again destroy us by water. You can't do nothing about it. You can't do nothing about it. We're going to wave our flag. We got our liberty. And they're pushing that thing and pushing that thing and pushing that thing. And you got a trans flag and you got this flag and you got that flag and you got the other flag for the fags, you know, all the flags for the fags, the flag, you know. And they're rubbing it in God's face. Hey, stupid. He said he won't drown you. He didn't say he won't burn you up. You rubbing his face. Keep rubbing his face. He's a long-suffering, loving, kind, patient, gentle, good God who sent you a Savior. And you keep rubbing his face and he's storing up wrath. And that old man at the nursing home, one eye I can tell can't see us. It's kind of turned in and it's real hazy. And he's looking with the other one like this. And he's sitting there. And he as soon as anybody starts preaching, doesn't matter who the preacher is, you could be the greatest preacher ever. And he goes like that. And then we start singing. And something that old man, he knows every hymn we sing. We got done singing early. He wanted to sing more. And so he's sitting there looking at me. And he's making up words to a song. And he was saying, Jesus, wonderful Jesus. He's so loving, kind, and gracious. He's so sweet and kind and loving. Always serve Jesus, wonderful Jesus. Someday we'll see him again. I know Jesus. He's so gentle and kind and loving and gracious. He's a loving God. I love Jesus. Amen. You're laughing, but and I know it is a little funny. But I sat there listening to him. I said, I never heard that song. Are you making up those words? And he said, yes. And I said, God, I hope when I'm that age, I don't hardly half know what I'm saying or doing. I hope I'm sitting there saying, Jesus, what a gentle Jesus. What a loving, kind, gracious, wonderful Jesus. Oh, Jesus, I know Jesus. Do you know Jesus? Dad's lost it. But he knows Jesus. Man, what a good God, huh? Don't despise that goodness. Because he is sweet. I can't believe how sweet he is. I can't believe how gracious he is. And when he has his bucket full and gets sick of the way people treat his word and his son, he's going to bring it, boy. And you don't want to see God unleash his power, because he's going to burn them up. Verse 8, behold, be not ignorant of this one thing. One day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. That's when Lucifer comes up and brings that army to that city, and God decides he's done. I'm sick of the way you treat my son. I've had it with you. I've given you every dispensation there is, every plan there is, every time I lay anything out for you, conscience and innocence and conscience and human government and law and church and tribulation and millennium, and every time you keep messing it up, you are constantly messing it up. I'm so sick of the way you treat my son. I've absolutely had it. And here comes Lucifer with all them people, those masses of crazy, nutty, lunatic. I mean, they're incontinent, meaning they cannot control themselves. They're fierce. They're not bendable. They're implacable. They're rebellious. They're stiff-necked. They're me, me, me. God says, I've had it. And I just wonder what that thing is. I mean, I don't know. The Word of God holds it together. The Word of God started the whole thing. He spoke it into existence. I'm thinking the Word of God's going to blow it up. I'm thinking he's going to say, enough! Boom! Just like that, and everything is just like it. You think a nuclear bomb's... They're trying to tune into God's power. So Israel jams their signals and comes in and bombs them on purpose to show them, we jammed your signals. You didn't even see it coming. Literally, Israel jammed they're supposedly so advanced, you know, all their nuclear or whatever they think they're doing. Israel jams their stuff, pop, 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 and gets out. And they're like, oh, they didn't do any damage. Whatever. They showed them. They said, you mess with us, we'll show you what we can do. That's nothing. They're boasting that, you know, we didn't have to lose any casualties. They didn't hit anything special. They sent them a message. You think you're advanced? We're ahead of you. They're so far behind God, it's not even funny. Israel and the United States and the rest of the world's superpowers, they're a joke compared to what God's going to do when he blows it up. So what God's going to do once he blows it up, go back to Psalm 102. God's going to unveil himself. You've never seen him. The world's never seen him. And in Psalm 102, when God actually goes through and does this and brings them before him at the great white throne judgment, Psalm 102, verse 26, God's going to unveil himself for them. Psalm 102, 26. They shall perish, the heavens, the work of thy heavens are the work of thy hand, verse 25. So they shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all them shall wax old like a garment. Oh, the ozone layer is depleting. Duh. Bible said that long time before you knew what an ozone layer was. They're waxing old. So much for evolution, huh? See how dumb they are? They're stupid. It's blindness. With brilliant intellects, it's blindness. as a vesture thou shalt change them, and they shall be changed. You know what God's doing? He said, doesn't he say he dwells in darkness? And he says the light? The sun's out there. Okay. You know what they say? You know what the space guys say? They say outer space is what, 90 something percent? Is it 99% or something like that? Dark matter? Does anybody know? 70 something percent? It's way up there. I think it's 90 something percent dark matter. And they said we have no idea what dark matter is. We don't even know what it is. We just know it's dark matter. You know what it is? He said, I dwell in thick darkness. It's God's garment. You can't see him. You know what he's going to do? Pick that thing off and throw it to the side. And he's doing it in Revelation chapter 20 when he's had it. Lucifer comes up and they're coming after him. God says, boom, here I am. And they're standing there on nothing. Everything they have, the heavens melt, the earth is gone, and they're standing there before a holy God on absolutely nothing. And they're looking right at him. And you're there. Look at another verse. Go to Psalm 104, verse 2. Who covers thyself with light as with a garment, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain. See that? Look at another one. Go to Psalm 51, verse 6. No, excuse me. Isaiah 40, verse 22, then Isaiah 51. So keep going to your right. Go to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 22. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. Thou stretchest out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadest them out as a tent to dwell in. The heaven. It's the outer space. You know what you'll do when you want privacy? You'll grab those curtains and you'll pull the curtain, right? You know what you're doing? You ain't looking at me right now. Right? I'm obsessive about it. When the sun starts to set and the lights are on in the house, nothing blows me up more than girls. I can't ever seem to get you all to close the curtains when the sun sets because I feel like we're being stalked. You know what I'm saying? I don't want them knowing the layout of my house. I don't want them driving by looking in the window. What are you looking at, you know? So pull the curtains. Why? Because I don't want you to see me. You know what the heavens are? You ain't looking at me right now. What a God, man. Isaiah 51, 6. Isaiah 51, 6. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath. For the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. How about that? Go to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Luke, would you read Hebrews 1, verses 10 through 12, please?
And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as dulled a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail.
You see that? You know, fold them up like a garment. You ever notice over there when Christ rose from the dead, what they find? They found the napkin folded in the tomb. He's showing them what he's going to do. He folded his garments. They're gambling over his garments. It's what's important to them. Brother, would you read chapter 12, verses 26 and 27? Hebrews 12, 26 and 27. Yes, you. Sorry, brother. I'm sorry. Should have used your name.
Whose voice then shook the earth? But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain.
See what God's going to do next? He's going to shake the earth and the heavens. And boy, that's going to be a day, man.
Yeah.
And then guess what's going to happen next? Once he does, and we get before that great white throne, Matthew 27:35. No, excuse me, 12:36. 12:36. That's a different one. We got to hurry. I got some stuff I want to get to here. Matthew 12:36. You see it? Every idle word that a man shall speak, he shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Every idle word. You ever say anything stupid? One of the old guys, I forget who it was exactly, he said he was standing on the front porch of a church building or the front entryway of a church building. I think it was a Peter Cartwright or one of those guys back then. And people were standing, a couple of guys from the church were standing there at the church building talking about the weather. And he walked up and said, "Gentlemen, how dare you talk about something so unholy and unhealthy in the house of God?" They were talking about the weather. Every idle word. I wonder. Listen, fellowship, enjoy, love the fellowship we have, praise the Lord for it. But some of them old guys, man, they had a different level of holiness than what we have today. Every idle word, could you imagine? Aren't you glad your judgment's already over by the time we get here? Because they're going to stand before God and they're going to be judged for every idle word that a man spoke. An almighty God that knows every thought you have, everything you've ever done, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, is going to be there to judge. Now, at the great white throne judgment, I want you to see who all is judged here. I'm going to erase this, all right? If you need some of this stuff, I'll just let you get a picture of my notes later. I want you to see who's judged at the great white throne judgment, which we're looking at in Revelation chapter 20. First Corinthians 6, verse 3. Know ye not that ye shall judge, that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? So at the great white throne judgment, angels are judged, and it looks like we're part of that judgment and judging angels at that point. All the unsaved of all the ages, go to John chapter 5. All the unsaved from all time. So the first resurrection has already taken place, right? Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, right? So the people that did not come up in the first resurrection because they weren't saved are getting judged at the great white throne judgment. So we're looking at John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. Let me get there. John 5, 28. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Well, I said, I think when that thing blows up, it's the word of God. All that are in the graves from all time hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now, wait a minute. That's a salvation that has works involved in it. So there's people coming up that are getting judged at the final resurrection. This is a final resurrection in Revelation chapter 20. The first resurrection is already passed. The final resurrection is when everybody from all ages stand before him. And some died during the tribulation in the millennium, and they died doing good, but they haven't been judged yet. They weren't part of the first resurrection. So at the final resurrection, they're saved and lost being judged there. But all the unsaved of all the time periods are there. So all those Old Testament saints that haven't come, those Old Testament lost that haven't come up yet, they're getting judged at the great white throne judgment. It's a pretty big deal. Tribulation saints are there. Go to Revelation chapter 11. Tribulation saints did not get judged at the judgment seat of Christ because they were down here going through the tribulation period, right? So how could they have already been judged? They couldn't have been judged yet. It's not possible. Not if you believe the biblical pre-trib rapture. though the tribulation saints are getting judged at Revelation chapter 20. That's Revelation chapter 11, verses 17 and 18. Saying, we shall give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come. He reigned, and they're angry. The time of the dead, do you see that? That they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. So you got the dead, you got those that are angry, and you got the saints getting rewarded at the great white throne judgment. That's not the judgment seat of Christ. You already got your rewards. Do you see why people get so fouled up in the Bible? If they don't understand how to rightly divide the word of truth, you're all over the map. You got to understand, at the great white throne judgment, it's not everybody that gets there doesn't go straight to hell. Some people don't. Some people get rewarded. Angels get judged. They're going to hell. And he said, don't you know you're going to judge angels? Isn't that interesting? All right, there's more. Revelation 21, you got millennial saints. Revelation 21, verses 24 to 27. So go ahead and turn there. So you got tribulation saints being judged there. And then now that we're at the end of the millennium, the millennial saints get judged. And that's Revelation 24 through 27. All right. And the nations of them which were saved shall walk in the light of it. 21, 24, yes. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. The gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. There shall no wise enter in anything that defileth. No, I got the wrong verse here. That's a bum reference. I'm sorry. But the millennial saints, I'll find it for you later. The millennial saints also get judged here. They have to, because they have not been judged yet. So here's the next thing that I want you to see. I want you to see, when we look at this great white throne judgment, look back at chapter 20. I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Right? We already looked at that, and I showed you how the world's going to blow up and they're standing there on nothing. Now look at verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great. That doesn't mean short and tall. That means nobodies, and that means kings and princes. Stand before God. And the books were opened. So God's got books, records. He's keeping track. And another book was opened, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. That's scary. Now, if your salvation is not of works, you don't want to be here. Right? These people have been through a period where their salvation is of works. It's don't receive the mark, fear God and keep his commandments. It's flee for your life, stay faithful to Jesus Christ, tribulation. It's the millennium, the Beatitudes, obeying the law, doing what the Lord says, serving the Lord, honoring the Lord, right? Back under the law in the millennium. It's by works. So they're judged according to their works. Now look at verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. You say, what's the sea? That's outer space. I believe that's the waters above the firmaments where Leviathan swims. The original destruction, what did he do in the original destruction from the original earth? He sunk it. What you got right there is angels. That's what I think it is. Now, I won't argue with you about it, but I don't think it's the people that drowned. That's what some would say. The sea delivered up the... Didn't you read Job where it says dead things are formed under the sea? Huh? Dead things are formed under the sea. Lucifer procreates. He's creating stuff, not creating, procreating stuff. He's forming stuff. Dead things are formed under the sea. The sea delivered up the dead which were in it. You're talking about demonic spirits and devils and all kinds of wacky stuff showing up at that judgment, and they're getting judged. The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell. delivered up the dead which were in them. All of a sudden, all those souls that have been in hell all this time, boom, they're standing there before God and all delivered up. And we're looking at one of the wildest scenes. Your human mind cannot wrap itself around a wild scene that's going to be there when that happens. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And next we're going to see God bringing down the new heavens and new earth where you're going to spend eternity future. But before we get there, I want you to understand some things about the eternality of hell. Let's run just a few more passages. Go to Daniel chapter 12, please. Daniel chapter 12. And I want you to see some of the stuff about hell. I found it very interesting that God gave us that message this morning, and it ties into what we were looking at tonight, and it wasn't your pastor's strategy. It was your pastor reading the next passages in line for the studies and the different chapters and books we're in, and it was the Holy Spirit of God lining it up, so he's trying to give you a message tonight. And can somebody read Daniel 12 too? Read it out real loud. Anybody?
Many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt.
Wait a second. They that sleep in the dust of the earth, that's people. And the contempt is what? Everlasting contempt. So where do these idiots get this annihilation concept? How do they tell you eventually you burn up? They don't get it from a Bible. It's everlasting contempt. That's not all. Look at Matthew chapter 25:41. Matthew 25:41. One of you guys read it. One of you preachers, I guess. 25:41.
Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire.
What kind of fire?
Everlasting. Mm. Prepared for the devil and his angels.
Mark 9:44-48, please. Somebody read that.
When their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched, and if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter whole into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched.
Notice two things. The fire is not quenched. Talking about people getting cast in, and he said, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. You have to be a Bible corrector to believe that people eventually extinguish in hell. That is not Bible. Hell is eternal, and the worm dieth not. Now, here's the thing. You live in a day and age where preachers won't preach on hell, and it's considered controversial. I just don't know why you got to be that way. It was in my notes from this morning, but I didn't get to it. In the New Testament, about half of all the references to hell in your Bible are in the New Testament, and of the New Testament half, 70% of the times the word hell shows up in the New Testament was straight out of the mouth of Jesus Christ.
Yep.
Hell's all over the Bible. God preaches on hell more than he does on heaven.
Yeah.
But we don't mention it today. Well, people's lost loved ones are there. Yeah, and you know what? I prayed before I did this because I said, God, I know some people in our church have lost loved ones that are there. And I don't know what to do. Because I sure don't want to mess them up.
Yeah.
And the Lord said, you trust me and you tell those people about hell.
Yeah.
Because there's lost loved ones that aren't there yet. And some of them need a little fire put under their hind ends to get them moving to go tell them about hell.
Yeah.
And care about them. and they need to care about their lost coworkers, and they need to care about their family members. I got to get back by the budget place because I didn't have a track this morning, and the young guy that was across the thing there from me, we were returning the vehicle before we came to church. Lord said, give him a track. I got to get back by there and catch him because I'm going to see him at the great white throne judgment. He's going to be standing there. He's going to walk up, and I'm going to recognize his face. He's a Marine. I said, thank you for your service. Nice young guy, because I saw his phone when it lit up. While it was sitting there, I saw four guys in fatigues, a picture in the front of his phone. I said, you military? He didn't hear me. I said, hey, you military? He said, yeah, I'm in the reserves. I'm a Marine. I said, what branch? He said, I'm a Marine. I used to be in full-time, and now I'm in reserves. I said, well, I saw the picture on your phone. And he said, oh, that was in California. Me and some of my buddies, that was at 6 a.m. after a 20-hour hike through the mountains. He said, man, that was a rush, man. It was so cool. It was exhausting, but that was so cool. And I said, yeah, I get it, man. I said, it's pretty cool. I like to suffer, too. He's like, yeah, man, it was just an awesome day. The sun was coming up, and he just kind of took off. And the Lord said, give him a track. I'm out there, tore the car apart, couldn't find one. Shame on me. I got to get some before I leave today. I mean, shame on me. I got to get some before I leave. And then I was going to just walk back in there, and he got in the vehicle and ran it up to go fill up somebody else's vehicle and get it back before they came to rent it, and I missed him, so I got to get back by there. You know why? Because a great white throne judgment's coming.
Yeah.
Because I know the escape. I don't want to see him burn for eternity. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 22. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 22. Oh, yeah, that's a verse 2, verse 22. No, it's verse 2. There is no Hebrews 6, 22. A second bum reference. I'm sorry, you guys. Forgive me. Vacation messed me up. Hebrews 6, 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. You know what God's saying? Hey, this is entry-level stuff.
Yeah.
We shouldn't have to be laying this foundation again. This is entry-level stuff. Eternity in the lake of fire. If their name's not found written in the book of life, that's where they go forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And then some smart aleck in the jail thinks he's got me. How can it be a lake and be fire? Ha, ha, ha. Hey, smart aleck. And my response was, you ever seen a volcano? And everybody's like, oh, dude, he got you. I said, yeah. Well, fire creates light. I said, not if I sink you in a volcano, in a volcanic eruption, you ain't going to be seeing anything. Open your eyes and look around. And he turned beet red and finally shut up. It's a lake of fire. And they're going to dwell there for eternity. But I want to comfort your heart on something. Let me just give you a few verses. Somebody grab Deuteronomy 32:22. Somebody else grab Psalm 86:13. And then somebody else, Matthew 23:14. I want to get you out of here, you guys. I felt so bad about going an hour and a little over an hour from time to time, and I'm working on that. I'm sorry. I don't want you to be happy when I'm gone. Pastor's back. We're never going to get released. Deuteronomy 32:22. Can somebody read it? Somebody got it yet? Shout it out.
For a fire is kindled in mine anger, and shall burn unto the lowest house, and shall consume the earth with great grief, and set on fire the foundations of the mountain.
All right, that's good enough. The lowest hell, do you see that? There's levels. There's levels to hell. Look at who's got Psalm 86:13. Somebody read Psalm 86:13. Go ahead.
For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell.
From the lowest hell. You see that? Mm-hmm. Matthew 23:14. Somebody got that?
You scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers,
Therefore, ye shall receive the greater damnation.
The greater damnation. See that? So what you got to understand is that God's just. What about people that never heard and never had a chance? Well, it'll go better for them. I mean, I don't know. You want to be in a better version of hell? None of it's air conditioned. None of it's good. But there's depths. There's levels. Now, let me show you this last thing. John 8:44. I want you to understand the form of the lost. This is a weird deal. John 8:44. I think you already saw this one, right? Is this the worm doth not? Oh, no. That was Mark 9. So we don't have to turn there because we just read that one. Somebody read John 8:44.
Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it.
Okay. What's their father, the devil's bodily form?
Serpent.
He said, where their worm dieth not. You know what they believe in? They believe in evolution. Yeah. You know what it actually is? It's devolution. What they do is get a form like their father. You choose to follow the devil. You choose to go where God's sending him. And what they literally do in hell is devolve. Yeah. They have a physical form, a physical body, an eternal soul, but they devolve into a worm. Look at, we already saw Mark 9:44. Look at 2 Peter 2:12. Don't you get a body like Jesus Christ?
Yes, sir.
I'm willing to bet you. Do you mind if I do this? How many of you ever heard a preacher teach you that people devolve in hell before? Let me see your hands. I know a bunch of you have heard it, but before you came to this church, if you've never heard it before you came here, first time you heard it is when you came here. Little over half. Why aren't they teaching you that? That's in the Bible. I'm not making this stuff up. You know what they're doing? They're prettying the Bible up all the time, and people take souls less and less serious all the time. I want you to get a real view of it. 2 Peter 2:12. But these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. As natural brute beasts, that's how they're living, like natural animals. So you know what the Lord says? You want to worship, Romans 1:25, we'll be done here. Romans 1:25, he says, you want to worship and serve the creature? Romans 1:25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So they've been saying you came from monkeys, and then they wonder why the kids are acting like animals. They say you came from animals, you've evolved from animals, and they wonder why they're dressing up and calling themselves furries. That's what they're calling themselves. And in about 5 or 10 more years, they're going to be wondering why they're all into all kinds of sexual perversion that shouldn't even be named in public. And they're going to be legalizing the stuff. You know why? Worship and serve the creature. It's serving humanism. It's thinking that we are it. It's worshiping ourselves. It's the I. And God says, all right, you want to act like an animal? You ever notice when we went through Revelation, some kind of weird animal, freak cross hybrids, the reference is up there for you in Revelation. Freak cross hybrids are coming out of hell. Different levels of devolving. And Jesus said, where their worm dieth not and their fire is not quenched. In reference to the people, he just said, cut off your foot. That's a human. It's better to go through life halt than to get cast into hellfire where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. They're going to devolve in hell. You ain't never seen a more horrific scene in your life. There ain't a movie out there that can catch up to God and show you the horrors. There ain't a horror movie out there that can match the horrors of the lake of fire for eternity. So would you do me a favor? Would you get some gospel tracts and go tell them this week? What are we going to do? We can't fit them in here. We have to wait in line for the bathroom. Don't worry about it. It's better than them waiting in line at the judgment seat at the great white throne judgment. let's get them in here and let them make them wait in line for the bathroom and jam them in because they can stand with them waiting in line at the judgment seat of Christ rather than watch them wait in line at the great white throne judgment. So go tell them. All right, let's pray.